Well, good morning again. Had a little time to visit with each other, and that's always encouraging, especially in light of the message I'd like to bring today. There is, last week we had the title of No Little People. We're going to continue that, the No Little People Redux. And it turns out that last week was only the introduction. I didn't know that at the time, but it was, and so we're going to finish it up today. So follow along with me, if you will. And I think this is a critically important issue, the things that we talk about today. So please put on your listening ears and open your heart to what God may be saying to you as a part of the body of Christ. We're at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. We addressed that last week. We'll do it again. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So the context of this text is the church. We're getting a ring back here, Gary. Okay. The context is the church, the family of God, the people who have joined with one another in ministry to one another and to the world, the church. We're going to look for a moment at the three verses that precede verse 10, because it's a run-up. The end of all things is near. In a sense, that's always been true, right? It's never been nearer than it is today. But there are also other temporary ends that arise, things that happen that are a challenge to the church and to the Christian. So we're always preparing for what might be. In light of that, be clear-minded, Peter said, and self-controlled so that you can pray. Now, that's an interesting combination. Be clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray. I think what it means is pray rightly. Pray rightly. Above all, love each other deeply. I give you this command from the Lord today, brothers and sisters, love each other deeply. You don't have to like each other to love each other, but we need to do that. I'm really happy that Metro East Christian Fellowship is not like some churches that are fighting all the time, that sort of thing. There's nothing like that. We can always do better, and we need to, as the message I present will get to. Paul writes to encourage the community to care for one another, and then he says, using the gifts, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I don't know what was going on in that church at that time, but somebody was grumbling because they didn't want to offer hospitality or something. I don't know. But the church is a community. It's a family. It's a group of people who belong to one another. And I think we always need to look at it that way. And as we see one another and encounter one another, we realize they are a part of me. This is God's church collected in O'Fallon, Illinois. And we mean a lot to each other. And if we don't, we should. Okay, well, that's going to frame out a lot of what I say today. So 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as speaking the very words of God. Boom! That hit me fresh this week. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. So we're going to talk about serving today and serving one another and the world around us. First, using our gifts, it's an act of worship. For me to discover the good things that God put in me that he intended me to use to serve others is only the first step. I must apply that. I'm going to talk about the benefits of that in just a moment, but those who have gifts, and we all do, and they're a rich mix of different things, we all need that. Corinthians says that the Lord put the body together with all the gifts that were necessary. all the abilities and talents and personality and backgrounds, it's no mistake that we're here together. God is having us here to minister to one another as the body of Christ, and thereby to minister to the world around us, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Our genuine worship, our genuine thanksgiving and worship and praise to God rests on how we get along. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So using our gifts as an act of worship to God shouldn't be a surprise, because everything we do as we live for and obey God is an act of worship to him. All of it. All of it. We're giving our lives to him in response to his grace for us. This is how God designed the body, the church, to put different gifts together. Sometimes it seems like very opposite kinds of gifts, but they're to complement one another and to build each other up. God designed us that way. He has given us individually to serve one another and others who are not yet part of the church. This is the first thing that validates our taking care of one another. Gives meaning, importance to that thing that we do that we call love and serve to one another. God is praised through our mutuality. Mutuality. Somebody needs to write a song about mutuality. Yeah, that just has that four-syllable word could really rhyme with a lot of things. It needs to be written, so somebody take that up. So God is praised through our mutuality, just being who we are with one another and acting as accountable Christians to each other, blesses the Lord. I like to think of God looking down on this church family and smiling, because he's pleased with what's going on. So while we love and serve one another, it is in fact a common act of loving God while loving ourselves, one another. Secondly, it's not only a praise to God, but using our gifts is an act of love to others. You've been given something unique that everybody you contact needs. A little bit of it, and you're there to provide it. When you don't, something is lacking. Dear friends, Jesus said, let us love, or John said, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Then Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, I take that to be perfectly, completely, deeply, now all those other adverbs. As the Father has loved me, so you should love one another. This is my commandment to you. Love one another. I give a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. That was spoken to the apostles, obviously, and then carried forth in the letters of the New Testament to us. And it's really part and parcel of 1 Peter 4. So using our gifts is an act of love to others. Remember the sometimes enigmatic command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. To love is to serve, is to love, is to serve. That's a combo that you cannot break. If you love someone, you will serve them, particularly as a Christian. And when you serve them, they are loved by you. Jesus put that together for us. And then he calls us to be that way to one another. And this is the meaning behind the great teaching on marriage. Remember, the Apostle Paul, when he dealt with marriage, he said, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as themselves. Love my wife as myself. Well, I hold me in pretty high esteem. So I must hold her in high esteem. That's just the way we are. Husbands ought to love their wives as they love themselves. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, notice we're going to pick up on this in a minute. The transaction goes both ways. When you offer love, a serving love to one other person, for example, and they respond with a similar kind of ministry to you, a perfect bond has been formed. And I can say that when I love others, I will be loved. It's a little tricky, because we're not supposed to go out and love and serve others so that they will love and serve us. That's manipulation. But characteristically, we're designed by God to give to others. And as we do, we are fulfilled. Third, using our gifts is a praise to God, it's an act of love to others, and it's an act of love because it is a way of blessing others. So it is that we're called to serve in the name of Christ because we're Christians, because Jesus said, "Do as I've done to you." The name of the one who blesses us, and to do so by using the love endowed to us by Jesus. When we love one another, are we loving ourselves? Ooh, tricky. That's what Jesus said. So if you love you, you better love me. As lovely as I am. There was a book written years ago. I was thinking about it yesterday. It's like 35 years ago. But it was a bestseller at the time. It was called Looking Out for Number One. Anybody remember that book? It was pretty famous. I decided to read that book because I found the title compelling. Well, in there he says, we only serve and love others because we know that will generate them serving and taking care of us. So we're investing so that we're taken care of. And frankly, the guy made a pretty good case of that. And so he got me to thinking, hey, we're not as selfless and loving as we sometimes think we are. Because deep in us lurks the desire to stimulate somebody to take care of us. That's not altogether true, and it's not altogether false. Not in the kingdom, at least. So I took this idea, and I was ruminating on it when my friend Paul Mann, whom I've known for years, called me and asked if I could pick him up at the airport in Chicago, which was a pretty good-sized gift. I mean, I was leaving Streeter, Illinois, driving to Chicago, and then take him to Lincoln, Illinois, and then back to Streeter. And I said, oh, sure, Paul and I have been good friends. We love each other. We're just deeply connected. Still are. So I drove up and I got him, and on the way back, Paul and I always love to talk about books and ideas that were going, and so I brought this subject up. He said, tell me more about that. So I explained it. And it got the impression across to him that when we give, we really are looking out for number one. Paul was skeptical. He said, Rich, why did you come to Chicago to pick me up? Oh, he had me. I wasn't doing that so that he'd do the same for me. I love this guy. That's why I did it. But I also know that he was blessed in the giving, the receiving of the gift, and that he was more prepared to do for me. That was not my motive, but it's real. This is how the contract works in community. We're not looking out for ourselves. We're genuinely looking out for others who, by the way, in response, will genuinely look out for us. Interesting, isn't it? Not as a motive that they will serve us, but as a motive because we're serving them in the name of Christ. The blessing to ourselves is fulfillment. When we give, serve, love, and take care of others, we minister to them in a time of need, or we just bring them joy one way or another by a surprise card or a gift, then what is happening is we are being fulfilled, quite aside from how they take it or if they ever respond to us. The beauty of giving is fulfillment. I hope you've learned the glorious privilege and happy event of giving. Whether it's giving to someone who has an emotional need, giving to the church, giving to some ministry, whatever it is, I hope you've learned the secret, because it is fulfilling. Paul said, when we give, it will be, Jesus said, when we give, it'll be given back to us, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The same is true, not just with money, but with all of our relationships, husbands and wives. You know, when you care for your wife, she's going to care for you. Wives, when you care for your husband, he's going to care for you. That's the way it's supposed to be. Check it out in 1 Corinthians 5. A mutuality of love and care. And it's not just in marriage or in friendships. It's in the body of Christ. It's the cohesion of all of us into a unit is the way we take care of one another. And then someone commented, behold, how they love one another. Now, the more mature we are, we don't love and serve in order to be loved and served in return, even though we can be confident of others' care. We can rather expect it. And we can rather be rather disappointed when we don't get it. You know, the old mope, stick the lower lip out and say, oh, I always take care of other people, they never take care of me. We've got to get off our pity potty there. Now, the more we mature, we don't love and serve in order to be loved and served, though we are confident we'll get it. They're gifted, and they're called, like I am, to loving service, and we are a family of servers. It's a blessing to ourselves when we give and love, because it promotes our maturation. When we love, we grow. It's like pouring water on a dandelion. It's going to grow. The kingdom of goal of mutual care in the church is that we will all ultimately, as Ephesians 4 says, prepare one another for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until, now comes the goal, we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. You're here for me. I'm here for you. Let's be attentive to what God is calling us to do and responsive to one another as a church. That way, God is glorified. That way, you're taken care of. That way, others are taken care of. Attaining to the whole measure of the stature of Christ. You want to be like Jesus? Get involved in the body of Christ, love, and serve. Amen? Okay. The most unselfish actions are those that nourish us in the ability to give whatever we have to give. When you act unselfishly, you get strong. You're building something very holy and righteous in your soul when you give and serve. Don't ever stop just because you're feeling down a little. Go after it, tooth and nail, like your Lord did for you. Some of the most selfish actions we undertake are those that create mutually life-enabling relationships with others. When I'm served and I'm loved in some way by someone, I am ready to give that back to that person and anyone else because I know it felt good. It uplifted me. It challenged me to do the same. In this respect, we are all models to one another in the ultimate act of growing the body of Christ into a loving community. You see that? Am I getting through? Okay, good. Some of the most selfish things. In this process, we both give and receive. When we fail to give and fail to receive what others would give to us, we forfeit those three things: fulfillment, care, and maturation. One of the saddest things are church hangers-on. Hanger-ons, if you will. People that just attend a church, or they just, you know, connect with the church, because after all, it looks good on a resume. And if I ever need anything, I know somebody will take care of me. But with absolutely no commitment or desire to do for anyone else. The church is just a blessing to me. That is so unfulfilling, so unright, it's so ungodly. It's not a proper use of what God has given to us, our gifts and abilities. Whatever they are, you can minister to someone else with them. So there are no little people in the church, because among all his people, those people's faithful use of their gifts, which are from the Lord, bring him glory and bless his people and influence a watching world. There's everything right about being a loving community, isn't there? Everything. It's wonderful. And if we fail to honor the Lord with what he gave us, gifts and power and commands and opportunities, then we fail him as well as others. I guess this is a plea that we as a church find more strength in one another. You know, Peter said, the day is approaching. The time is at hand. The end is getting nearer. Let me just apply that temporarily for the church. Our world isn't getting any better. Our country is not getting any better. Our culture is turning putrid. Every day, wanton murders. Every day, violence. Every day, people are taking more license with what they call their freedom and just take care of themselves at the expense of others. That is exactly the opposite of what Christ calls us to do. Exactly the opposite. But that world, that culture, is encroaching on all of our lives. We're feeling it. We worry. This is not a last chance, but maybe. It is our chance to say, that is wrong. I want to be strong against that. I want to be different from that so that I am an influence on them. The church must be the shining light that Jesus called us to be. A city on a hill. You don't hide it. You show off love and good works. Oh, I don't know if I like to show off. Well, get used to it. It's exactly what we're supposed to do. I'm not talking about something insincere. I'm talking about really loving people, really caring for people, really giving up my comfort to comfort another. Interestingly, 2 Corinthians 1, Paul makes it a big deal. He says, we comfort others with the comfort that God has given us, and then they comfort us in return. It's beautiful, the symbiosis of the body of Christ, loving and serving one another. So as the world gets rottener, I just coined that word, I think. I don't think it's a real word. As the world gets more rotten, the church must grow in sincerity, love, and kindness, and the use of our gifts to uplift one another and to model life as it should be for others. I've been privy to seeing this ministry of influence happen. Because I'll have people from the community around occasionally will say something, hey, I know somebody in your church. You know, I got to admit, sometimes I go, ooh, really? It's not my fault. No. But they'll say something like, you know, I really respect their family. They're just such sweet people. I love being around them. I say, thank you, Lord. Then I get to add a couple of complimentary things like, yeah, aren't they? That's because I'm a good teacher and preacher. No, I don't say that. No, but we are modeling for one another, aren't we? Let's make each other stronger. Don't hang out from the church. Hang into the church. One of the deprecatory things that has happened as a result of COVID, all the churches have gone online. Well, it was a good thing, right? Because we could still reach folks. Now folks are staying home. And I can get church at home. Well, no, you can't. You can get a little music and you can get a sermon. And you can do with what you want with that. But you don't have the church. I'm sorry to say this. It grieves me. I myself have had to use that opportunity to see a church service online. And it goes about that deep in goodness. But in me, there's a craving for somebody to sit next to. Somebody to share a cup of coffee or communion with. Someone to dialogue about life. Someone to say to me, boy, you know, that was a good sermon. Can we talk about that? For me to see grown men stooping down on one knee to bless a child. There is so much we do in community that we need to do. Fractured, we cannot do that. Not very well at all. So the church has always been the church gathered. And we are the called out ones. Ecclesia means we're called out from the world to come together as a body. And there are bodies of Christians all over. Some of them are deeply involved in mutual service and love. Others just like to get together on Sunday because that's what Grandpa and Grandma did. Let's not be like that. Let's be like what Peter said. Let's recognize how important it is that I, with whatever God has put in me, give to others in a mutual exchange of expecting that they would give of what God has put in them to me. It makes me stronger. Makes me more righteous in my behavior. It makes me happy. Makes me ready to do again for them. Blesses families. Let us be the church, and all the more as we see the world encroaching on us. Each one should use whatever gift he has received. Interestingly, we've already received a gift or gifts, that is our ability to do things and to be certain things. Each one has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace. So what God has given us is, it's a gift and it's his grace. I don't think I want anything more than that. God's grace gifts to me, invested in me, so that I can use it for others. I love that principle. God loves that principle. And man, the way we do it when we're a community and there's all of these transactions of love and service going on inside the community and reaching out from the community to others, that's the church. That's the church. Let us be that. Let us stir one another up to love and good works, as the scripture says. So if you speak, do it as speaking the very words of God. I pledge to you, I'm going to do that. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides. Amen?
Amen.
Family of God, let's be who he wants us to be, shall we? We're going to pray for Bob Klaus because he's taken off to Ecuador again. Bob's not getting any younger, but you'd never know it with the things he signs up for. So, but I would like for members of the Kingdom Expansion.